Welcome to a brand new series here today that we are launching. But I'm really so excited about this message over the next couple of weeks and of what God is going to do in this place with this series. And so I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting God to do some wonderful things over the next course of the few weeks. We've got our big serve day that's coming up as well. But we are in a place that I think in Western kind of Christianity world here, you kind of hear this term. I've heard it. Maybe you've never heard it. But a lot of people say, Jesus and me, Jesus and me, Jesus and me. And there's no problem with that. And people talking usually about their relationship with God, because your relationship with Jesus is everything. And so, but I think there's another step in our relationship, and that's having a shared relationship with Jesus by telling others about who he is and the responsibility that we are to take this hope that we have and take it to the rest of the world. And so we are the church that, and I love that part of that video, we don't exist for ourselves, that we exist for the rest of the world. And so in fact, this last week, I've just been praying so much for you. For you, that you would just grow personally in your faith, that your faith would go to a new level of believing God for bigger things. How many know that you serve a big God? Come on, I mean, like, y'all serve a big God. Amen, everybody? Amen. And so we don't need to believe little. I believe when we believe little, it's insulting to God, because he's so awesome and he's so big and he's daring us to believe him for more. And so we want to be a church that does that. And so as you grow in your faith, guess what happens? The church grows in our faith together. And I think that's what's wonderful. And I believe this, that there's something very powerful that happens when the church comes together. Amen, everybody. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12 says, by yourself, you're unprotected. But with a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Listen, I've just learned along the journey that when you pray alone, it's great. But there's something about when you get together with people and you begin to pray, that some powerful things begin to take place. I believe this too, that God is attracted to unity. Oh, I'm telling you, God is a relational God. Everything that God is doing, he does relationally. How we change the world is going to be done through relationships. You can probably think of maybe a coach, a teacher, maybe it was a parent, a father, a mother, somebody that has impacted your life. Your life is usually impacted through a relationship. And so we need to see that we can't do this thing by ourselves, that we need each other. And so God in this, and I was thinking about this week, when I worship, like, I love to get my worship on, and I like to kind of worship in my car, but some of y'all like to worship in your car. Y'all don't know, I've seen some of y'all worship in your car. Yeah, you have. And man, it was several months ago, one of the members of our church, I saw on Lima Road, it blessed me. And man, just jamming, hand in the air, driving. I was like, come on now, you know. And so saw him at church and I said, hey, were you on Lima Road? I knew it was him. But I said, hey, you know, you on Lima Road on this day? And yeah, I was heading to this place. I said, you got your worship on, didn't you? And they laughed at me and said, yeah, I was worshiping. It's, you know, it's the same reason why we also in our cars pick our boogers. It's true. Y'all know it is. Because we feel like there's this invisible shield that ain't nobody else is seeing. And we just kind of do our thing. Y'all laughing because you know it's true. And it's just like, you're picking your booger though. Like, they see, just so you know. Man, that's a revelation for some of us here this morning. Amen. But here's my point with this. There's something powerful that happens when we, the church, come together in a place of worship. Man, can I tell you that all week I've been looking forward to get here on Sunday morning to be with you. I spend 90% of my week without you. I'm lonely without you, so I like to be with you. I'm a pastor who actually likes to be with the people. Amen, everybody? And so, you know, I worship a lot by myself through the week, but there's something about coming together. It's why we're doing our Elevate Nights at the end of the month, because, man, we just have a desire. We have multiple services, so we have to be a little bit conscious of time, and so that night is just designed for a little bit. Man, we're just going to have some more worship time and not be constrained about having to get out on time, per se, but we're going to have a great time. Kids are going to have an awesome time as well. Neon party. Just this, the commercial for you real quick there. All right. But I've been praying, though, for us as a church. And I've been so stirred since just over the last several weeks and coming back from vacation even, and just stirred by what I know God wants to do. We're in an hour that I believe that God is stretching our faith and asking us, will you believe me for more? or will you stay comfortable with where you are at? And for some of you this morning, this message, I believe, is going to stir you. I believe over the next couple of weeks that even you may be making some faith-type decisions today and even the next few Sundays that I pray you'll look back, and I believe, at this series and say, man, this is when God spoke to me. This is when God stirred me. This is when that dream came alive again. Amen? So what are we? Jot this down. We are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers. This is who we are as a church. We will never insult God with small thinking or safe living. Come on, I want y'all to help me say that this morning. You ready? We are, come on, say it with me, faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers. We will never insult God with small thinking or safe living. We are a church that is going to believe God for the impossible. We are a church, come on, that's going to believe God to do the miraculous in the mighty name of Jesus. We are a church that is going to believe God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think in Jesus' name. Come on, that's what we're believing for. That's who we are as a church. And so this morning, I want to share with you two stories from Jesus where he, the Bible says, was amazed. There was two different times in Scripture that were shown that he was amazed at something. Two different times that are, those two different moments are on really the total opposite spectrums of each other, and we're going to look at that today. The first Scripture that we're going to look at, Jesus is actually hanging out in his hometown getting his preach on, but ain't nobody hearing him. They're actually offended at him because of the things in which he is saying. So think about it. In his own hometown, he's being rejected. And it says this in Mark 6, that he could not do any miracles there. Think about that. In his own hometown, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. But notice this. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus was blown away that the people of his hometown didn't believe who he said he was. He was in a place that he was, the Bible says, amazed at their lack of faith. Then we read another story where Jesus was blown away, where he was amazed here in Luke. There's a centurion man that came, and he had a sick, dying servant and sent somebody to go send word to Jesus to come and heal his servant. And the centurion times in that time weren't well liked, but by faith, that's what he did. But once that word got to Jesus, he said, hey, Jesus, the centurion man said, hey, Jesus, I don't need you to actually come to my house to heal him. But at your very word, I know my servant can be healed. That's all I need you to do, Jesus. Think about that, everybody. So Jesus said this in Luke 7. He said this, when he heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith. Everybody shout, great faith. Great. Come on, now say it like you really believe it. Great faith. Great. There you go. Even in Israel. So there's two different moments that Jesus was amazed. He was amazed, first of all, at the lack of faith. And then you find in another moment where he was amazed at such incredible, great faith. And so my question, first question for you this morning is, would Jesus be amazed at your big, bold, audacious faith, or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? Think about it this morning. And I want you to be honest. So on your message notes, you got a little scale. Notice that this morning. And I want to help us today, and I want to help you to get honest with God. All right. And so in a moment, I want you to just, between you and God, just kind of rank your faith. See where you're at right now in the journey, between 1 and 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. But in order to help you do that, here's what I want you to do. I want to help you kind of give an accurate answer. I just want you to think about this past week, all right? What great faith steps did you take in this last week? Did you attempt anything this week that was so daring that if God didn't come through for you, there's no way that it would ever have happened? And if so, you might end up on the higher spectrum of that scale. If not, maybe on the lower. Maybe your prayer life. I want you to think about your prayer life for a minute today. Where's your prayer life at? Where's your prayer? How are you doing in the place of prayer? What did you pray for this week? Imagine this. I was thinking about this. Imagine if God answered every one of our prayers. Imagine if he did that. Imagine if he answered it immediately. Imagine if God did that. Here's the question I want to propose to you. What would be different in the world because of it? We just need to think about that. Think about that. Think about what are we praying for? For some of us this week, your food was blessed. Amen. All right. For some, got the grandma's house safely. Amen. All right. Well, those are good prayers, but God wants a little bit more for you, all right, than just praying over our food. And those are good things, all right, but we need to pray for more. For some people, maybe there would be nothing different for you in the world at all. Maybe you didn't pray a single prayer. Maybe you didn't attempt anything that was bold and audacious and daring for the kingdom, for the glory of God. And I'm just encouraging here today, fear not. I'm praying this message ignites something in you that you've never felt before in Jesus' name. And maybe you're in a place that you're believing God for big things. You're praying for big things. Keep at it. Keep at it. But let's get stronger in it together, and then let's get stronger in it as a church. Amen, everybody? So would God be amazed today at your great faith, or would God be amazed at your lack of faith? Did you attempt anything? Are you attempting anything? I'll say it that way. And daring and praying God to do the unbelievable. As a church, I believe that God is calling us to be faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers, to never insult God with small-thinking or safe living. So I want to spend my time here the next few minutes just talking about three faith-filled facts. And these things, I truly believe, will stir you, will compel you, but will increase your faith. And some things that I just want to share that I think, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, is just going to do something in your heart. First of all, you got to know this. Jot this first one down, that you cannot play it safe and please God. You cannot play it safe and please God. And here's why. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Keep that verse up there. Let's read that together. Here we go. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, if you can do everything within your own power and never need the power of God in your life, then you are living without faith. You know, when people sometimes will share vision or things with me, if it never requires the element of faith, I would question if it was really from God or not. Because in everything in our journey, we need God. And everything that God has called us to, we need faith in order to help see those things happen in Jesus' name. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, and I think the challenge in our world today, even in Christianity, is faith is sometimes glorified. Like there's the faith face. Like when things happen, I got the faith face. Like you ain't gonna mess with me. You know, it's just like this face. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's just like, well, have faith, brother. You know what I mean? And, you know, you'll get through it. Have faith, brother. And I, y'all know me, man. I just keep it all the way real. There's some moments like, can I just tell you, I don't have it. I struggle. Listen, faith is messy. It ain't clean. It's messy, isn't it? And I've thought so much about that. There's some moments you have great faith. Like, man, we're going to change the world. And we are. We are. But then something at work happens, and then you struggle to know if we're going to get through the next day. Something hits your family. Something hits your finances. You're wondering, man, am I ever going to get through this? But we're believing to change the world, but we're struggling to believe God for our home. I'm telling you, God's wanting to do something in our hearts today. God's wanting to bring us to a level of faith that we've never been to. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep growing in my faith personally, but I want to continue to see God move in this church so much that, listen, we fear nothing. Think about this. Think about a fearless church. Think about a people that are fearless. We're not going to be shook by things. We're going to trust in our God. And we know who he is. And we know what he's fully capable of doing. But I think sometimes it's hard to follow a God that you can't always see. It's why you need faith. It's not always proven. What's going to happen? I don't know, but we're going to have faith. We're going to trust God. Why? Because God knows better than we do. So we're going to lean in to faith. You know, I was thinking this week, I remember my first time ever riding a roller coaster. Any roller coaster lovers in the house? Let me see your hands. Wave them like you just don't care. All right, there you are. All right, just messing with it. All right. But I remember my first roller coaster ride. Like, I was the guy that would go to these theme parks, man, and with my friends, And I would be the one sitting, you know, on a bench somewhere watching them ride them. You know, like I'd spend hours at a park with my friends and just sweat watching them, you know what I mean? Getting smelly and all that stuff. And they come off the roller coaster and say, man, you know what? It's awesome. I'm like, shut up, you know? You know, and so finally, you know, and I would go to Kings Island and Cedar Point, and there I am, the guy. The guy that's holding everybody else's stuff. Talk to me, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Like, hold my stuff for me while I go experience a thrill. You know what I mean? And so, man, I'll never forget. So finally, one day, I went to Cedar Point. One of my friends looked at me. We were about two coasters in and said, this is the day. I said, what you talking about? They said, the day you're going to ride a coaster. I said, it's not today. But inside, I'm like, yes, I want this. But outside, I'm like, no, man, just don't make sense. You know, scripture says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Y'all are just crazy. Y'all need prayer anyway. You know, I'm just trying to get through the day, you know. You know, trying to not pass out from a heat stroke, you know. And so, no, they said, no, this is the day. And so they took me by the arms and, like, pushed me. I mean, real friends push you on roller coasters, right? Real friends that love you push you on roller coasters. And so remember that. Somebody needs to tweet that, all right? Real friends push you. All right, anyways, I need to get off that. So I went, and it was the Mantis, and I think they've since retired it, which is really sad. And so it was a stand-up coaster. And I'll be honest, I got on that thing, man, and I am, I'm sure I peed a little. I was freaked out. I'm just being honest with you. I'm 89% sure I thought of a four-letter cuss word. I'm 90% sure that I didn't say it, though. I know. Pray for me. All right. It was tough. It was tough. Anyway, but I got through it. And I remember coming off like that, man, like I rode roller coasters forever. Man, why y'all sitting out there need to ride some coasters? What you talking about? Like, this is the thrill of a lifetime. Here's my point. You can't play it safe and please God. There's going to be some things in your life that God's going to ask you to take a step of faith and do something radical that you've never done before. But I'm telling you something this morning. I would rather take a risk and do something I've never done before, knowing God is with me. And if it flops, it flops. But if it succeeds, man, it succeeds. And I'm telling you, we're trusting in a God who is wanting us to take faith-filled, risk-filled prayers and go for it in Jesus' name. Look at the person next to you. Say, don't play it safe. Look at the other person next to you. They're your second choice. Tell them, go ride a roller coaster. Here it is. If you're a note taker, jot this down. This is not in your notes. This is free this morning. But here's what faith is. Faith is trusting God no matter how impossible the odds are. Impossible odds set the stage for amazing miracles. I'll say it one more time. Faith is trusting God that no matter how impossible the odds are, impossible odds set the stage for amazing miracles. I believe one of the greatest examples in Scripture that we see of some radical, audacious faith is Peter. Peter's the crazy guy. Like, he was the crazy guy. Like all of our families, like, we got one crazy person in the family. And if you're struggling to think of who the crazy person is, it might be you, all right? But we all have the crazy person in our family. Peter was the crazy one out of the 12. And so there was a moment, Jesus, how awesome is this? The disciples are in the boat. Just imagine this morning. In the boat, in the ocean. And all of a sudden, man, Jesus, with his swag and everything, starts walking on some water and says, who wants to come out on the water with me? And the only one crazy enough to do it and step out of the boat was crazy Peter. Peter was crazy. And all the 11 stayed put. But you know what Peter did? I don't know if this is going to work, but I might as well. He said I could do it, so I'm going to step out and take it. And he did it first until he got so wrapped up with what was happening with the wind and the waves. And the Bible said he began to sink. And the disciples, the other 11, are criticizing him at his failing. Are criticizing. I mean, you just imagine even today, criticism came. But if I'm Peter, I'm like, look here, y'all. Y'all 11 are still, your butts are still sitting in the boat while I'm at least trying. And I'm telling you, what do you want to be more known for in your walk with the Lord? By playing it safe or taking some risk and doing some things that you've never done before and trusting God to take you to where you need to be. Amen, everybody? I don't know about you, but I want to be a risk taker. ain't got time to play it safe. Amen, everybody? And here's, I think, what happens. People think that when you fail, that you have missed God. And in fact, I personally, for my life, I've discovered that when I have failed, it's the first step in discovering God. And when you trip up, sometimes it's the best thing for you because you learn and you realize you need God. You can't do this without Him. Man, I'm just telling you right now, God is designed for us to believe Him for more. Can I say this? Never let fear ever of fear of failure ever stop you from taking a step of faith. Never allow the fear of failure to ever take you and stop you from taking a step of faith. What will happen, man? God, what will happen if I get out of the boat? I don't know, but you got to find out. You got to step out to find out. You got to figure this out and trust God. You know, I've always dreamed of a church that would be more known for its action than its words. Ain't no country club here, y'all. Dreamed of a church that is more known for loving the streets of our city and finding ways to serve and make an impact. Got a bunch of crazy people. I'm going to tell you more about it at the end of this message. We're going to do it this Saturday. Big for Jesus, serving, getting our serve on. Why? Because we love Fort Wayne. We love our city. And we know that we are a part. We are a part, not the only part, but a part of what God wants to do in this great city. And we ain't going to sit in the sidelines. God's called us to be in the game, and we're going to be that. So I've dreamed of a church that would be that way. And I don't know who I'm talking to today that may be playing it safe. But I believe this. If you're not failing every now and then, you may be playing it safe. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about it this morning. Would God be amazed at your great faith? Or would God be more amazed at your lack of faith? Here's the second thing. Jot this down this morning. As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. Hebrews 11, let's look at what faith is. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Love this. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. But the problem for many of us is we want a guarantee first. We're trying to wrap our minds, our logical minds around a God who's, listen, not going to be wrapped around your logical mind. You've got to have faith to believe and to trust and to know that God can. I believe you can grow so close to God. When it's time to move in moments like that, they become easier for you. I think for some of you, you're one step away from a breakthrough. For some of us, we're one step away from God doing something crazy, awesome in your life. But you got to take the step. God can't do it for you. He won't force Himself on you. And so, you know, I was thinking, do you guys remember back in school, specifically kind of elementary? Remember when you just kind of used to ask boys or girls out? You know, I know for me, you know, you'd ask them, you know, will you go out with me? But you would never go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? You ever think about that? Like, will you go with me? Like, but we would never go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so, but there was always like the pre-asked question when I was in school. The pre-asked question was on the note, you would say, if I were to ask you, would you go out with me? You know, would you? And so I wrote that, you know, slip it to her friend, and her friend would give it to her. And you know, most of the time I got yes. You know what I mean? That's just the way it was. All right, just being a little funny. All right. It's halfway true. Anyway, but then I'd get a note back. Tease it out. I'd get a note back. Here's what would happen. Some of them, I'd get a box, a new box, and say, check maybe. I'm like, well, girl, maybe ain't no. I got some work to do then, all right? But that's how some of us feel with God. We are in a place that we are at with God that you're feeling the maybe with God. Well, maybe I should do it. Maybe. And God's saying, get out of the boat. What are you waiting on? Trust me. I'm going to catch you. Even if you fall, I'm still going to be there. And when you make it, guess who's going to be there and get the glory? God. Playing it safe with the guarantees. You know, I remember we moved my family. No guarantees here. I remember people telling me we shouldn't move here. But if I got caught up with what everybody else was saying, we wouldn't be here. And this has got nothing to do with me. God gets all the credit, all the glory. But I've thought about that. Man, if I listened to people all the time, we would have stayed in the comfy confines of Columbus, Ohio, and never moved. But my girl and I are so excited that we moved. And we trusted God. We took a risk. It was crazy. Financially made no sense. But we knew God said, get out of the boat. Let's go. Let's go. Let's trust me. I've got this. And here's what I think. Listen to me. This is tweetable. You can have, I'm on a roll today, all right? You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. You can either have faith or you can have control, but you cannot have both. God is asking, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Will you believe that I can? Will you quit playing it safe and know? And some of us today, we need to release control in order to take that first step of faith. Can't play safe and please God. Here's the third thing, last thing this morning. To step towards destiny, you have to step away from your security. If you're going to take a step towards destiny, you got to understand you're going to have to come away from your security. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I've written unto you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Believe on. You may want to underline that. It's important. It's not enough just to believe in, but to believe on God, the name of the Son of God. I remember a pastor friend of mine did a little tightrope action. Any of y'all ever walked on a tightrope in here? Crazy enough to do it? Nobody. All right. One person, praise God. All right. And so he told the story, and when he walked across this before they did this, it was from one tree to another tree. And so hundreds of feet in the air. Now, when he was doing it, obviously it was like a cargo net underneath it. All right, you with me so far? And so he said the key was that they told us, he said, is that you have to walk. You can never look down at your feet when you're walking on the tightrope. That's the way they train people. That when you're walking on the tightrope, that you are looking towards the destination of the other tree of where you're going. So you literally take one step. You have to keep looking forward. Cannot look down, because if you look down, you lose your way. Think about that. There's a message in that. And so you have to stay focused on where you're going or you'll fall off. Now for him, he took like three steps and he fell. But then he said, but then there were some people that never took a step. They end up getting so afraid when they're up there, they were holding on to the tree. And so they had a nickname for people that did that, they called them tree huggers. That they played it safe and they got more focused on the hugging of the tree. There's some of us that we need to let go. And we're tree hugging. And God's saying, I need you to trust me. And I need you to believe in me to take the first step, but to stay focused for where I want you to go. There's a guy by the name of Charles Blunden, and he was from France. He was about 4 or 5 years of age. His parents sent him off to acrobat training, and he became a prodigy at a young age in doing the tightrope. And he actually, on hundreds of feet in the air, he would walk the tightrope. He did it in a sack. He did it blindfolded. He did it on stilts. Amazing. And so he did it so much over there, he ended up moving to America to gain just kind of a better life financially. And he moved to America, but they began to see a lot of the same things. So they said, man, you're going to have to up your act. And so he goes to Niagara Falls. And he goes to Niagara Falls with the understanding, I've got to somehow get this to be better. And so this is him. That's him. That's an actual picture of him that I found. And so he walked across Niagara Falls, and this is actually a picture of him doing this. But then he realized upping the act is going to be difficult. So what he made the decision to do is something he never did before, and that was actually carry somebody on his back while he did it on the Niagara Falls. Yeah, so everybody believed that he could do it, but ain't nobody wanted to be the one to go on his back, as you can imagine. And so, but he made a decision, man, I've got to do something I've never done before and something different. And so finally there was a crazy enough person that believed. They were literally, I was reading this, they were literally placing bets at his failure that he would die, because there was no cargo net. He refused it. But if he fell, of course that other person's falling with him. But he took the step. And can I tell you, that's the same thing that it is with faith and with God. God is reaching out to some of us and saying, it's time to take a step of faith and for you to trust me. Trust me. Faith in God is scary. Can I say sometimes it's wobbly? But trust in him and know that God has got your back. And faith is this. It's taking a risk. And it's knowing that even if I fall and I miss it, God's going to catch me. I'm going to fall because my life is not my own. My life is in his hands. Amen. Hebrews 11:8 was a crazy guy that had a faith story. Said this, Abraham, crazy faith story. Says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed, notice this, and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You know what he did is he let go of the tree. He let go of the tree and he took the first steps. I mean, I don't know where I'm going. I just know God told me I got to go. I got to go and I got to respond. And I'm telling you, God's power comes upon you because it becomes, it's you are walking by faith, not by sight any longer. What a great place to be when you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And so as a follower of Jesus, there's some of you today that you need to take a faith step. For some, it may be sharing your faith with someone in your family. It may be sharing your faith with your boss, with your coworker. But you're scared and you say, man, I don't know how this is going to look and how this is going to work out and what the response is going to be. But you'll never know if you don't take a step of faith and trust God. I know the box may be checked maybe and you don't know what that looks like and what's going to happen. But when you do it and you walk in faith and you trust, I'm telling you, because of your obedience, your faith is going to be built. Your faith is going to be stronger. Some of you, God is calling to tithe for the first time. And you're saying, man, this makes no rational sense to me. You've heard about it. You've thought about it. You've made excuses about it. But now you know it's time to take the step. And when you do it, you look back after a few months and say, man, God's blessing really is on me. It's really on me when I give him my 10% and I honor him with that. And here's what you end up recognizing later on. Because I've never met an ex-tither in my life. But here's what you recognize, that 90% with his blessing is actually more than 100% without it. And you realize the systems of this world don't work, but God's way always prevails and works. Some of you this fall are gonna start a small group for the first time. You've been thinking about it, praying about it, got some passion that God is stirring in you. And you're thinking, man, I don't know if I can do this. I'm scared. Man, do I know enough? Am I going to be able to? Is this going to happen? God's saying it's time to take a step of faith. This fall, for some, you need to start a small group. And when you get in it months down the road in the semester, you look back and say, man, this is my favorite thing to do because I'm pouring my life in other people. And as I'm pouring my life in other people, we are growing spiritually. And what an impact. What an impact that God has called you and I to make. For some of you, you may be called to serve with our students. God may use you to ignite a fire like never before, but you're scared. You're thinking, man, I have no idea how I'm going to connect with the students. Like, I'm scared. Like, am I cool enough? Is it going to work? Don't know. But once you get in it, you take the step of faith. You start looking at students and realize, man, there's potential in these kids. Like, oh my goodness. Like, these kids are full of potential, and it's going to take great faith. And then you realize, man, these kids have got some issues. Man, some of them have broken homes. Some of them are cutting. Some of them are sexually confused. Some of them are depressed. They need guidance. And you realize, man, this is my call. For somebody, it may be you called to the kids' ministry. You're called in the place of the kids' ministry to make an impact for generations. Can I tell you, I believe kids' ministry is becoming the most important ministry in the church like never before. If we don't raise our kids up knowing Jesus and with the conviction at an early age, this nation, listen, it won't even look remotely the same. We need generations that know Jesus and that are raised up with the power of God. I remember as a kid, some of my moments in there, some of my fond memories are as a kid and my teacher and pouring into me. And I thank God for them, but some of God is calling you. Maybe God's called you to the two-year-old room. Glory to God. Said, man, these little kids are crazy. Like, I am outnumbered and I am freaked out. But when you take the step of faith and you get in there and you realize there's potential, Some of these kids just need loved. Some of them just need to be prayed with. Come on, somebody. They just need someone to be in there. And you realize, man, I'm making a difference. I'm a part of ministry. I'm a part of change in action with kids and what's going on. For some of you, it's time to start the new business. You've been waiting. It's time to start. For some, there's a ministry that's been in sight for quite some time. It's been burning inside of you for a long time. It's time to take a step of faith and trust God and know that He can. And then I'll say this, because I believe this is even prophetic for some people in here. We have former leaders, pastors, different people, all walks of life. And I'm telling you, you've been waiting. This is the time. I'm telling you as your pastor, we are entering a season, not just in this nation, but the church, where God needs His people to arise. You are not called to the sidelines. For some, it is time. It's time to step back in and get moving with God. It's time to step back in and start leading again. So, man, I'm scared of that. I'm just telling you, take the step of faith. God's going to meet you right where you're at. Trust in Him. Trust in His grace. Trust in what He's doing. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. There's things that we're praying about, faith-filled, crazy, risk-taking. We're praying about launching 3 services in the fall. Why? Because I want another church service to preach? No. Here's why. We need to reach more people. We realized before summer hit, we were at maximum capacity at both services. Glory to God, everybody. What a great problem to have. And so we realize it's not about us, but it's about them. We've got to make more room for people, everybody. So we're praying about that and when that looks like and what that looks like. Why? Because we're going to believe God. And God has called us to be a church that reaches thousands of people for the glory of Almighty God. And listen, and I'm telling you, I believe it with everything within me. Multi-campus, this church, I'm telling you, God is called to do so many things for His kingdom and to launch a dream center. There are people that are not in church today that are going to be in the weeks and months to come. God is about ready to do something, and I'm excited about it. I don't care if you give me a golf clap or not. I believe it, and it's going to happen. God's going to grow this thing because it's not about us. It's about what God is doing in this church and in this hour, and I'm telling you, God has got this thing. We're going to see God do it. And I'm excited to ride the roller coaster with God. Amen, everybody? And so we've got an interest meeting coming up I want to tell you about. In 2 weeks after second service on the 24th, we're having an interest meeting on the Dream Center. And we are doing a trip to Los Angeles at the Dream Center. All right, do I have my slide? All right, to help me? There we go. All right. And so it's going to be after that second service. And so if you've heard me talk about the Dream Center, you can come hear about it. And then we're taking a team that's going to be a part of this. Aaron Brown, he's going to help lead this team. And it's going to be an amazing trip. But we don't even know what this looks like. I just know God told me this year, it's time to start taking some steps. So we're going to just see what this looks like. If you want to know what it is, that you need to come to that meeting. I don't have the time this morning to tell you all of that. But mark that down in your calendar. In 2 weeks after second service, we'll spend a few minutes telling you what that is and then preparing a team to go this fall in November out to Los Angeles for a week to spend there with Pastor Matthew Barnett's team. We've got a just great relationship with them already. So excited about that. We've got a lot of other things happening. Serve Day this Saturday. You talk about taking a step of faith. For some of us today, this is your step of faith. Coming out of what's comfortable and trusting God. And we will find the right place for you. I'm telling you, there's no pressure with it. We've got a lot of different things that we're wanting to do. So we're going to meet here next Saturday morning. We have donuts. We're gonna make sure you're fed before you go, all right? Maybe some Nutri-Grain bars because, man, you don't want just a sugar rush, all right? But nonetheless, we're going to serve our city in many different projects. Man, I'd love for every one of you to go sign up. Bring your kids with you this Saturday morning. I'm serious. Like, I'm bringing my kids with me. I want them to know what it looks like to serve, not just in the church, but in the streets of our city. Come on, we can make an impact together. Amen, everybody? Let's go do it. And by doing that, everyone will get, if you don't have everyone that day will get a serve shirt. All right, so we're going to bless you with that. Everybody will have that on that day. It's going to be awesome. I love to see hundreds of serve shirts doing different things around our city. Why? For the glory of God. Why? Because we love this city. Do you love your city? Come on, is God amazed at your great faith or at your lack of faith? And so I believe this, that God, listen, everybody, We're not a church that's called to sit back. We're going to be faith-filled and take big risks. Jesus didn't call us to a small commission. He called us to a great one, the Great Commission. And so I want to just say, as I close up and get ready to pray here, don't ever let me hear you say, man, the church is getting too big. Because if you think the church is too big, then your love for people is too small. And as long as there are people who don't know Jesus, the church is never big enough. Got a lot of people to reach for the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen. So here's, I want to do something totally different. I want you all to stand to your feet today. So here's what we're going to do. We are faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm risk takers. We will never insult God with small thinking or safe living. Would you bow your head right where you're at? Let's do something totally different. God, I just thank you this morning for your presence. I thank you for God challenging us to believe you for more. I thank you for faith to arise in the hearts of your people like they've never seen. God, for some, they're one step away from a breakthrough. They're one step away from seeing a dream become a reality. And so, God, I pray, stir in us, oh God, stir in our church, God, to be think big, to be faith-filled, and to be risk-takers. God, we're not wanting to play it safe. We want to go big for you. And so, Lord, I pray right now over every single person, stir up our hearts and our life, God, to believe you and to trust you for more. Come on, as every head is bowed all over this place, I want to ask you this morning, where are you at just right now with God? Maybe you're in a place that you don't know the Lord. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. I want you to know this is your opportunity. We're going to pray in just a second. I want us to pray together. But if you don't have a relationship with God, it's the greatest decision you can make right here today. And all over this place, if you know, man, you need that, you need to walk in that relationship today, you need that, or you need to come back into that relationship without any hesitation, come on, throw your hand up in the air and say, man, that's me. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you. Come on, anybody else that says, thank you so much. Thank you. Say, man, that's me. I need to put God back at the center. I need that relationship. And we're going to pray, all of us together. I'm proud of you guys. All of us together. And just say something like this. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new today. Today, by faith, I give my life to you. I believe Jesus died for me so that I can live for you. Fill me with your Spirit so that I would know you, serve you, and follow you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's just give Jesus the praise today for what he's done.